NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
I've released the diversity report and the numbers aren't getting better. So let's talk to someone involved in the process. Laura Raynick talks to us about the failings of the recruiting process. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. To give everyone context again, I just released my Q2 2022 IT leadership diversity numbers, and we tracked 300 companies. In this quarter, we looked at 3,353 humans and found that the IT industry that I'm tracking is currently 89.2% white, just under 2% black. It's 79.5% male, and those numbers have been pretty consistent. So I want to dive more into these discussions about what's going on. So the first obvious question is, so Laura, what's your background in addressing diversity so people can get some context?
So since 2009, almost every assignment I have accepted from both large and small companies here in Silicon Valley have had a request for a diverse candidate pool, or they would prefer to hire a female candidate for their leadership roles. How many times it pans out to actually be a female is probably less than 1 in 5. So I have a lot of experience about companies wanting to do the right thing, but then not being able to execute on wanting to do the right thing well, for a variety of reasons, which I'm happy to talk about.
That's the obvious first question. So why, despite good intentions, is it not happening?
I think we have a system that works pretty well for us in business. Like we have quarterly numbers, which is a short time frame for, and we're asking for big change. We have companies that work reasonably well the way they've always run. So why not just keep doing what we've been doing? It's the easy way out. And I think a lot of it is unconsciously, the way people have been raised and in our society has not necessarily created a super aware group of people or a super emotionally mature group of people to say, wow, I really understand how my behavior is impacting other people who are not like me, right? And so we have it's not anybody's fault. It's just kind of the system as it is. And I can tell you, too, that if you want to, one of the biggest pet peeves I have when I work with clients is that they create sort of a wish list for the ideal candidate, which is fine. And if I bring in a male candidate who meets 80% of the wish list, and he's very confident in selling himself on the other 20% of that wish list, like the 20% he doesn't have, he says, yeah, no big deal, I'll pick it up. A woman will come in to that same interview and say, well, I have these, 8 out of 10 things, and these 2 things I don't have. So they actually do themselves a disservice in the interview process by not showing up confidently and saying, look, yeah, maybe I don't have these 2 things, but I'm confident I can accomplish them because of these other things I've done in my past where I've taken on a role, didn't know everything, and got it done. Where a man will come in confidently and just say that. So, and then what it does is it plants a seed of doubt in the mind of the interview jury. And then they're like, well, we don't know. So they want the woman who can check all 10 boxes. And honestly, there's probably three people on the planet who could check all 10 boxes, and they're not available to that organization at that time. And so I think they're just kind of a, that's my biggest pet peeve, is that the bar is very high, and companies are less willing to take a risk on a female leader than on a male leader.
So let's focus then on the company side of the equation, because most of the audience here is going to be the leaders and the hirers and the owners. What do they need to be thinking about, and what are you telling people to do? Because in a way, I could look at this and I could say, like, if you're passing the candidate that's actually more honest and open about their capabilities, right, objectively, that seems like the one you would want. But the system is clearly working in a way where the inherent biases are playing against it. What are you counseling organizations to do to be different?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing they need to understand is, what is their unconscious bias? I mean, we all have them. And it's part of being a human being. It's part of, you know, sort of anthropologically, as humans, stranger danger kept us alive for a very long time through evolution. And we still have, there's still part of our brain that works that way. And most of us aren't aware that it works that way on a day-to-day basis. And we just have to understand that we are human animals and that we're going to have these biases, but we need to understand what our biases are. And I'll give you, for instance, Stanford University has an online program that's free to take about unconscious bias. And you can take it and just discern what your biases are. So I actually have a bias against fat people. I mean, sounds insane, but you know, if you know, not on purpose, but I just have a bias against them. And so now that I'm aware of it, I can go, when I hear myself thinking negative things about that person, like they're just not as capable or they're lazy or whatever it is, I can stop myself and go, oh, wait a minute, that's my bias talking. That's not really what's going on here. And that has nothing to do with this person in front of me. So the first thing is, become aware of your unconscious bias, right? Figure out what they are. And then I think too, when we're looking at candidates who are super capable, if you look at your value systems, and honesty and integrity are the core of your value system, you need to understand when you're being sold on something and when something is actually true. And you have to make a conscious decision to go a little bit against your gut. Because your gut will go, oh, well, that sounds really good, and I want to go that way. But your brain is saying, wait a minute, that person's not exactly completely transparent about, you know, everything. Like, maybe they can, but maybe they can't do it, right? And so you need to really have a head gut check at that point for candidates. And then the other thing is I think every now and again, if you're truly committed to hiring diversity, whether it's a woman or a person of color or indigenous background, you really need to commit to saying, look, this candidate's not perfect, but you know what? I think they can do the job if they truly have the right background, right? If they have shown progression in their career, if they've shown that they've learned new things and accomplished great things in their background. Like, the thing I like to look at is, what is their career progression? Have they started and then grown in their career? Particularly for leaders, and how many people have they managed, and what's their leadership style? And then going into reference checks, just making sure you do that 360 reference check. Some people manage well up, some people don't manage well up, some people don't manage well down. So you need to find the strengths and weaknesses and really get that really well-rounded candidate that's going to help you get a better and broader perspective on your customer.
Does the process start, like, all the way at the job listing? Are there ways that we can write job listings that are smarter, that attract better candidate pools, or where does it start?
I think that's an excellent point. And what I do with all of my clients is I basically sit down and say, where do you want your business to go? Why is this position open? And what do you hope this person, if you hire the right person, you know, 12 to 18 months from now, what will they have caught and accomplished for you? And really take a look at what the business problem is you need to have solved. And once we look at that, we chunk that down into skills and abilities. And then we take a look at what experiences this person's going to have that's going to make you confident that they're going to be able to execute that. And I tell my clients, like, look, you need to have like six things that you have to have, and everything else is going to be a nice to have. So you actually broaden the filter. And I think the piece that's very important, and this is where we kind of get stuck with diversity hires, is we talk about fit. In executive recruiting, we talk about, well, we got to get the candidate fits right. And I talk about it myself, right? And fit means, does this person have the right communication style and value system to fit in with my existing team? Well, the problem when you're making a diversity hire is they are going to have different values in some ways and maybe communicate a little bit differently, but you're trying to affect change in your organization. So when you go for your fit characteristics and capabilities of that person, sort of like the character of who you're hiring, I say always hire for strong character. And what I mean is integrity, transparent communications, respect and loyalty. Those are sort of my things, or, you know, that you want to look for in a person that's going to do well in any organization. And those are the people I encourage my clients to bet on, whether they're, you know, whatever their ethnicity is.
So what are you looking for in management to determine if they really are being inclusive? Like, what is those guidelines that are the indicators of a management team that's really committed to that?
Well, it's very interesting. I think that they are open-minded about sort of the profile of the candidates they're looking at. They don't want the cookie cutter candidate that everybody else wants. They're willing to take somebody who's a little bit different. They look for people with that career progression, which I think is really important. And the all important executive presence and communication style. Like, how does this person communicate? Can I put them in front of my other leaders and they'll get respect from my other leaders? So I think it's also important, you know, on the candidate side, that the candidate shows up in their best with a suit or I don't know, not all everybody wears a suit anymore, but, you know, sport coat and slacks, or for a woman, a nice pants and shirt or a dress or whatever it is, right? Just show up looking the part.
What's one of those one or two big red flags of things that distinctly don't work with people that are trying to do this, but are definitely items that don't work?
On the hiring side. So from the hiring side, the things that don't work, like one of my biggest pet peeves is really giving a lot of lip service to hiring a diverse candidate. But when it comes down to it, they really don't execute on it. They make the bar so high that they're, like I said, there's only a few candidates available to hit that, especially on the diversity or minority side. So for instance, like I had a client ask me, a venture capitalist asked me to hire a Latina with experience in IT, M&A, and working in cybersecurity. And I'm like, the impossibility of that person existing, I'm sure there's one or two out there, but that's not, my job isn't to, you know, in some ways I do find the needle in the haystack for the perfect candidate for my clients. I do get a lot of kudos for that. But the reality is that the client has this sort of openness about what that person's going to look like and what their background is going to be. And we bring the candidates that we feel we've vetted and are assured that can execute well. And I think having a closed mind or having like too many must-haves are the things that are a big red flag on the client side for us. And I think the other thing that really inhibits a great hire, a great diversity hire, is their recruiting process. Like, not having a well-defined process from start to finish and someone to sort of follow through and manage the candidate experience. Because if you're looking for a very successful or a very determined female candidate to come and lead and manage in one of your organizations, if they don't have a great experience in the interview, they're not going to come to work for you. They're just not. If they feel anything that's not aligned with their values or aligned with how you've described the role or how you've described the team and how they work together, women are very intuitive, and they will just say no.
So a lot of the listeners to this podcast are going to be smaller companies, right? And so they may be struggling with formal definitions of process, and even maybe having, you know, the owner maybe doing a lot of the HR kind of bit. Mm-hmm. Give a couple of one or two first things to focus on from a prioritization perspective to start working on to make that process better.
I think a really well-defined position description, like really looking at what you want expect from the candidate and the kinds of people that do well in your organization. And then take a look at the sort of the change you're trying to initiate and look for people who are put change drivers sort of in your position description, because you want somebody to come in and be able to make, you know, sort of shape the future of your organization with you. And then I think really put a point person in the organization as the person to follow up. It may not be you, it may be your office manager, or it may be the head of another department, sort of as the person who follows up with your lead candidates. Not all of them, right? Because you're essentially going to find maybe two, maybe three candidates you really want. And then there's that one, right? So you want that person to follow up with that candidate, make sure that candidate's feeling the love, I call it. You know, recruiting is like romance. You want that love, the dating all the way through to the final, to feel good to the candidate. Like, this is a team they want to join. They feel comfortable and confident they're going to make an impact by joining your organization. They've bought into your sort of mission, and they're going to get some satisfaction from the role. Remember, this is how I look at it. Everybody was designed for a purpose and a role, and you want the people who are designed for what you want to get done.
For many of small business owners and those who spend a lot of time kind of networking, they know that referrals tend to be a really great way for finding extensions to your team and knowing people. But if you're in that sort of, I don't call it trap necessarily, but if your network is people with common experiences and ends up looking a lot like you, it's a self-perpetuating problem where you aren't creating a diversity. How do you guide and recommend people to kind of systematically break out of that, particularly when they rely so much on referral networks and who they know for what their existing kind of candidate flow might look like?
So there's a statistic out there. It's between 67% and 77% of all hires come through your network. The rest come through either recruiting or advertising. Okay. So, it's very common. If you want to go outside your network, you're going to have to make your network bigger. So you'll have to network with sort of, so there's some organizations. There's the Indus TIE, the Indus Entrepreneur, which is primarily Asian, East Indian population people to network with. There's Women in Technology International. They have a lot of stuff going on with women in technology. You're going to have to get into those sort of networks to start to show people that you're really truly committed to this diversity initiative. And then I also think that there's a movement now with women, and women are committing more to helping other women get into companies that are doing great things. So when you hire one woman, you could probably start to, you know, build your network to hire more women. The first one's probably going to be your hardest, but once you sort of make that happen, it gets a lot easier for you. But I think you just have to go hunting in different pools if you want something different.
So this is an area where I'm going to freely admit I am not an expert, right? I'm asking as a generalist business owner and thinker on this. So what have I not asked about that is something important for people in that seat like me to know?
I think the pandemic really sort of created different opportunities for people. Because they ended up working from home a lot more, those who were able. And I'm not really sure. There's probably a mix of businesses that you support where some of people are able to work from home and other people have to need to be in the office. And I think the biggest thing that women and minorities look for in an employer is flexibility, because a lot of times women are still, you know, in charge of most of the childcare, right? Most of the household stuff. And so they're going to need some flexibility on the comings and goings, as long as they execute well, of course, right? And I can think of, you know, people I've advised who are smaller businesses. I work with a lot of startups and smaller organizations, right? Same struggle. How do we get someone on board? We don't have a lot of cash. How do we sell the equity? How do we sell the opportunity? I think you want people to know you have a great work environment, that you're diversity friendly. And I think you need to walk that through your process too. Like, what does diversity friendly mean? It means you will hear what the other side really, truly has to say. You'll use your active listening to repeat back what they said to make sure that they really understood. Oh, I was listened to. I think that is the key right there, that people feeling heard and important. That's the key to getting great people on your team of diverse background, because they feel like their voice has been pushed down for a very long time.
So you brought up some interesting stuff. So compensation, now, particularly for the typical kind of small business that I work with, equity isn't actually a thing because these are generally bootstrap style mm-hmm. companies. So putting that aside for a second, what are those kind of different things as part of a total compensation package, putting salary aside, that need to be focused on to be effective here to get a larger, more diverse workforce?
I think things like, I think that time flexibility is really important, right? Like, if they need time to take care of their children or their family or their something at home, that needs to be, you know, that's kind of doesn't even cost you anything, right? I also feel that most people go to work to make a difference. So they need to understand how their role is making a difference to both your customers and to the business as a whole. And if you can continually remind them of how important it is that they're a part of this team, that also goes a long way. I think inflation has never been higher. Money is important. I'm not going to say it's not, but I also think there's a lot of equity out there that's not worth anything too. So you need to compensate fairly for the market. Otherwise you're going to be constantly behind. And then, when I was in corporate, things that we did to help sort of engage people is we'd have a quarterly drawing for like a three night, 4 day trip to Cabo or something. And we, you know, send people off on a trip just to keep them sort of engaged. And it would be around sort of either product releases or customer installations or something that was important to the organization.
If they're looking at changing their hiring process, what's sort of a good starting point for them?
Well, they could always call me, right? I can help them. I'm happy to provide some assistance. but I think to think about, there's two things. I mean, think about your biases, really. And I don't want you to feel bad about having these biases, because it's part of the human experience. So you just have to understand what yours are. I think that's really important, so that you can attenuate your thinking around people who are different than you. And then I think the other thing is you're really going to have to learn how to get comfortable with people who are different than you, which is not always easy. And then I think you need to think about where's your growth pattern for your organization and where are your gaps, and then hire for those gaps.
So, Laura, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I have an email. It's laura@reinaxsearch.com and just shoot me an email and I'm happy to respond. I usually respond within 24 hours to those.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.